Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. Another beautiful day. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the opportunity again to be here together to join our voices and hearts in praise to you for your mercy to us shown in the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for your word. And may it continue to be a light to our feet and a lamp to our path. Bless us this morning as we study your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're going to try to get through chapters 21 and 22 of Matthew. We did read, I believe we read chapter 20 last week and just into chapter 21. So we'll read chapter 21 again this morning. Matthew 21. When they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and came to Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village that is over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if anyone say aught unto you, you shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. Now this has come to pass that it might be fulfilled which was spoken through the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did even as Jesus appointed them, brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their garments, and he sat thereon. And the most part of the multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them in the way. And the multitudes that went before him and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. Jesus entered into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold the doves. And he saith unto them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. When the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children that were crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were moved with indignation and said unto him, Hearest thou what they are saying? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, did you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. And he left them and went forth out of the city to Bethany and lodged there. Now in the morning as he returned to the city, he hungered. And seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he came to it, and found nothing thereon but leaves only. And he saith unto it, Let there be no fruit from thee henceforth forever. And immediately the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How did the fig tree immediately wither away? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do what is done to the fig tree, but even if you shall say unto this mountain, Be thou taken up and cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. When he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, By what authority doest thou these things? Who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one question, which, if you tell me, I will likewise tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or from men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why then did you not believe him? But if we shall say from men, we fear the multitude, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We know not. He also said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. But what think ye? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in the vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented himself and went. Came likewise to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Which of the two did the will of his father? And they say, the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye saw it, did not even repent yourselves afterward, that you might believe him. Hear another parable. There was a man that was a householder, who planted a vineyard, and set a hedge about it, and digged a winepress in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into another country. And when the season of the fruits drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen to receive his fruits. And the husbandmen took his servants, and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did unto them in like manner. But afterward he sent unto them his son, saying, They will reverence my son. But the husbandmen, when he saw the son, said among themselves, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and take his inheritance. And they took him, cast him forth out of the vineyard, and killed him. When therefore the Lord of the vineyard shall come, what will he do unto the husbandmen? And they say unto him, He will miserably destroy those miserable men, and will let out the vineyard unto other husbandmen, who shall render him the fruits in their season. But Jesus said unto them, Did you never read in the scriptures, The stone which the builders rejected, the same was made the head of the corner. This was from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken away from you, and shall be given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And he that falleth on this stone shall be broken to pieces, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will scatter him as dust. When the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, and they sought to lay hold on him, they feared the multitudes, because the multitudes took him for a prophet. Things are going to get much more pointed now. We are, again, in the last week. And so as the parables in the past may have been a little more broad in interpretation, these are going to be much more pointed. We had mentioned in the previous time that Jesus has left Galilee, and now he is moving south, coming near the River Jordan. Passage ahead of this says that he went through Jericho. And I thought it was very interesting. We've been comparing the synoptic gospels, hadn't had reason to go into John, but John spends a good bit of time with this portion of Jesus' ministry. And so there was two things I thought that would be worthwhile bringing in to the passage here that are not in Matthew, but speak of the time that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. First one of these is in the book of Luke, chapter 19. And it says he was passing through Jericho. And behold, a man called by the name Zacchaeus. Personal note, that's precious to me in the sense that when Jennifer was less than a year old, I'm getting a message from the back. Point of interest was Jennifer was about less than a year old, and we made some very dear friends in a previous church. His name was Lowell and Evelyn Green. To me and Lisa, they were like grandparents in the faith, and I would never forget. We would sometimes pick them up and take them to church. They taught us a little song.
Zacchaeus was a chief publican, and he was rich.
Jesus had something to say earlier about riches, so we don't want to underestimate what he had said there, but he was making a point. There are relatively rich people in his kingdom who've done great good. It's not that they're trusting in their riches. They're using their riches for the glory of God. And here what Zacchaeus did. He said he ran before and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, he has gone in to lodge with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have wrongfully exacted aught of any man, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, today is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is also a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. So we have this incident as Jesus is coming down towards Jerusalem. We have one other, and it's in the book of John. Does anybody know which one it is? So it's such an amazing thing. You're wondering, why is this not in the other Gospels? That would be a good question, and one that I'm not saying that I have the answer to. But John chapter 11, as he's in this same area, he comes and raises Lazarus from the dead. And so you know the story, but what I'd like to read from that is as Lazarus comes forth from the tomb, and this the thought that's here will tie into today's passage. It says, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. He comes out of the tomb, and verse 45 says, many therefore of the Jews who came to Mary and beheld that which he did believed on him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done. Chief priests, therefore, and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, what are we going to do? For this man does many signs. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. But a certain one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said unto them, you know nothing at all, nor do you take into account that it is expedient for you that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. Now this he said not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but that he might gather also together into one the children of God that are scattered abroad. So from that day forth, they took counsel that they might put him to death. Something you might want to study, since it's also from the Apostle John. If you go into the first letter of John, that language is used, not for the nation only, but for the whole world. And so the idea there is not so much that Jesus' death is for each and every person alive, but that it was not exclusively to Israel. It was going to be something that was spread out throughout the world. So I'll let you look at that on your own. And that's in 1 John chapter 2, which happens to be where we are on Sunday morning. Back to Matthew chapter 21. We did briefly go through the triumphal entry last go-around. So the king arrives in Jerusalem to great fanfare from the people who had followed him from the north. Remember, it's Passover week, so the area is going to be flooded with people. And these are receiving him as the great king. It's just a different kingdom that they're thinking he's about to set up. So they haven't recognized him as the king to come, but they have totally misunderstood his kingdom, as we've said in the past. And they speak great things about him, and others who are seeing this are indignant. that they should say such things about Jesus. Now Jesus then goes in to the temple. And you can imagine, I believe this may be the second time he's done something like this. He goes into the temple and he overthrows the tables of the money changers. So what you'll see now is in other places, when things got a little hairy, if you will, he went and hid himself. No more of that. Okay, we are now in the last week, and things are going to get very, very pointed. He's going to make some astounding statements, and judgment is coming upon the people. So is salvation for the world. So he basically says to them, this is a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of robbers. And even while he was in there, he is healing. Okay, so people are still so blind, so blinded in their hatred of him. And what their position was, as John had spoken, which we read earlier, about they're so concerned about their own position that we will not have this man to reign over us. So blindness is upon them. People were saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, and they were moved with indignation. He left them and he goes out to Bethany. So perhaps he's still lodging with Mary and Martha there. The next section, he curses a fig tree. Now, is Jesus in the habit of going out to objects like trees and cursing them? Or is he setting up some kind of thing for us to understand that if you pray hard enough, you can level a mountain somewhere? I don't think so. So one of the things maybe that will help us with this passage is in another gospel, and it's in Luke chapter 13, and he spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit thereon and didn't find any. And he said to the vine dresser, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I don't find any. Cut it down. Why does it cumber the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, thenceforth well. But if not, thou shalt cut it down. Posit to you that again, as we get in this section, the parables and sayings of our Lord are going to be very specific to them, to the Jews, to the Pharisees in particular, the leaders of the land, that your time is up. Okay? As we move out of the gospel, you'll see that the message goes forth. There's a great amount of conversion that takes place, but it's ultimately moving towards the destruction of the temple and the end of the old covenant way. So keep that in mind if that's new to you. I hope it's not. But you'll see in the parables that are coming and the woes in which Jesus speaks so clearly, definitively, that judgment is coming upon them for their rejection of the King of Kings. We move on. Chief priests and the elders have heard him teaching, and they want to know, by what authority do you do this? They see their position as over everyone, and if you are to speak, you really need to come to us. We're the certification crew for whatever needs to be taught here, and we don't know where you come from. Besides, we've heard that you are from Nazareth, a city of no repute at all, and here he comes again down to Jerusalem. Now remember, Jesus, again, spent the vast majority of his time in his ministry in Galilee. He would have come forth down to other Passovers when everybody else did, but the vast majority of his time was spent away from Jerusalem. There had been times where the The Pharisees sent out delegations to find out what's actually going on. But again, he has a different message than what they were expecting or hoping for. So he didn't have certification from them to do what he was doing. And so he gives them a story as well. And you can see that our Lord has a way of confounding all those who are duplicit in their methodology. So he talks about John the Baptist. John came and he spoke of repentance. You guys didn't repent. And how do you see John? Well, they knew how the people viewed John. They didn't like John. And so he confused them at that point. And he said, well, I'm not going to tell you by what authority I do this either. And then he gives them a parable. And he says the ultimate teaching behind this parable is that the publicans and the harlots, two of the despised class of there, when they heard the message of John to repent, they did. They came to him and were baptized of John and began to follow Jesus. And perhaps these are those who have been brought into the kingdom, convinced and converted, some of the first followers of Jesus, and particularly would have received the blessing of the Spirit as the new covenant age begins. And so, we should, likewise, we should make no distinctions at all whatsoever in who we share the gospel with. Remember from earlier, we have our own 10,000 talents against us. So we have no reason to think that we're better, holier than others. We just need to be thankful that the Lord has opened up our hearts and our minds to receive the truth and to follow him, and that we are now ambassadors for Christ. All right. So in our lives and in our teaching and our actions, we should remember that. People need to hear the gospel. It is the only hope of mankind. Now, we come to the next parable. Now it's, again, really clear. Here's another parable with a householder in a vineyard. And you can see that the preparation has taken place. He's planted a vineyard. He's set a hedge about it, digged a wine press. So he's expecting something from this land that he's taking care of, and he sends his servants into it. And so now we're, what it's letting us see here is this is what's happened in the history of Israel. They've stoned the prophets. They've killed the people who've been sent to them. And so now the king, the owner of the vineyard, is going to send his son. So what are they going to do to his son? They're going to kill him. Remember, we've seen as we got further on into Matthew's story, maybe three or four chapters ago, he states very clearly that we're going to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to be mocked, and I'm going to be crucified and raised again the third day. I never really get it, but he's much more clear in stating that this is what's about to take place. And here's a parable. It says they're going to kill the son. And so, when the Lord of the vineyard shall come, what will he do to the husband? All right, so not only do you see in these parables the rejection that's going to take place of Jesus, you're going to see very clearly spelled out, particularly in the next three or four chapters, judgment is coming. The kingdom of God is going to be taken away from them. They will be judged for their rejection of the Messiah. He will miserably destroy those miserable men and will let out the vineyard unto other husbands, who shall render to him the fruits in their season. Stone which the builders rejected, the same was made head of the corner. This is from the Lord, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Again, we see as we go through Matthew. He's always pulling in scriptures from the Old Testament to make his point. The kingdom of God shall be taken away from you and shall be given to a nation bringing forth fruits thereof. So the Pharisees are now beginning to get exactly what he's saying. The messages are against us. Now we move into chapter 22. See how we're doing on time. Okay. Yes. If I didn't make that clear, that was the point I was making. He's not just arbitrarily going out and cursing and killing trees. He's making a point, and that's again why it's in this particular section, is it's becoming increasingly clear that they're not doing what they're supposed to do. Okay, a fig tree's supposed to have figs. Didn't receive any for the 3 years, and that was the point of bringing in Luke's portion of the gospel to show, I've been doing this for 3 years. Well, give me a little more time, and then if they repent, good. If they don't, we'll cut it down. And so it's in the process of he's showing what's going to happen. It will be cut down. And there are people who are speaking out against those kind of people, to be sure.
In Atlanta, I mean, we got them all. We got TV Jakes. We've got all these people. And these are the people that are creating the evilness that is described by the media
right. Toward
Christianity. And here we are. We're not doing anything about it.
Right.
I don't think. And when a pastor has a $54 million debt, why the rest of the Christian community isn't just raising their hands and saying, this is not Christianity, this is Satanism.
Whenever I think on the subject that you're talking about, and its broader implications all over our land, public schooling, or whatever, there's a phrase in the scripture, it's blinded the minds of the unbelieving. And that's where we are in our culture. Satan has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, and it's accepted. Just as a side, some of you may, about the only time my TV actually works is in the morning, and I'll turn on Fox News and try to get some decent semblance of what might be going on. But if they have a religious person come in, sometimes it's Joel Osteen. I'm thinking, what are you, you know, ridiculous. Let me get back to the text, but I want to read something. I was going to read this last, but since you made that point from John chapter 12, beginning at verse 37, it says, "These things spoke Jesus, and he departed and hid himself from them. But though he had done so many signs before them, yet they believed not on him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, 'Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?' For this cause they could not believe, for that Isaiah said again, 'He hath blinded their eyes, he has hardened their heart, lest they should see with their eyes, and perceive with their heart, and should turn, and I should heal them.' These things said Isaiah because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless," let's get this point, "nevertheless, even of the rulers, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the glory that is of men more than the glory that is of God." So you can see his preaching and teaching is having an effect on a lot of people. There are some now, if you will, closet believers in him. They're afraid, if we confess this man, we're going to be excommunicated. And that's the kind of control or authority that they had in holding down not only the masses, but even now some who are more educated, if you will, and other parts of the priestly family are beginning to see, who is this guy who comes in here and performs miracles? We can see. Remember what we said before, seeing is not necessarily believing. Believing is seeing. And they'll come to that. Remember Jesus' prayer on the cross, "Father, forgive them." And as Pentecost took place, lots of these people who are confused, misunderstanding, they're going to be converted in great numbers. Back to Matthew chapter 22. Here's another parable. See if this isn't also just as pointed. "Jesus answered and spoke again in parable unto them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king who made a marriage feast for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the marriage feast, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them that are bidden, Behold, I have made ready my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come to the marriage feast. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his merchandise, and the rest laid hold on his servants, and treated them shamefully, and killed them. But the king was angry, and he sent his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they that were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore unto the partings of the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid them to the marriage feast. And those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was filled with guests. But when the king came in to behold the guests, he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." So you can see clearly here in the first half of this parable, he's saying again to the Pharisees, this is what you've done. We've prepared, God the Father has prepared a wedding feast for his son. And not only have you treated shamefully his servants ahead of time and the prophets, but now the son you're going to kill. So what's going to happen? Well, again, he's going to send his armies, and he's going to destroy these murderers and burn their city. These things happen, beloved. the judgment of God was upon this land, and it wasn't but 40 years later, and Jerusalem was sacked and destroyed, burned, not one stone left upon another. Made way for the new covenant because the temple was the central focus of worship, which it no longer is. So, very clear on that part of it. Then he goes in, out to the highways and the hedges. And okay, and you can see now, the follow-up of the previous parable, he's going to send out his people to another who will receive the gospel. Go out and find him, the good and the bad. Bring them on in to my wedding feast. But there's one there who doesn't have a garment. Now, apparently in that particular time, if a king or a very important person was to have a wedding and he invited people to come in, he would have a storehouse of wedding garments. So the people who might have not have been able to afford that kind of clothing were properly dressed for the occasion. And so the most of the those who came in here put on the garments, but here's one who didn't. So apparently this particular person didn't think he needed to be clothed in the way that the king had said he should be clothed. I think we can look at this and interpret it in our understanding of things now that we need to be clothed with Christ's righteousness as we're in his kingdom. It's not any righteousness that we derive of ourselves, because our righteousness is all as filthy rags, not to mention the 10,000 talents of badness that we have against us. Okay, so here's someone who thinks, I'm okay on my own. Maybe he had what he thought was some pretty good clothes of his own, doesn't say. But he didn't need the garment that the king had provided for him. And so what happens? Judgment. Now, when judgment is spoken in the New Testament, a lot of it is from the mouth of Jesus. It seems to be quite clear, harsh, weeping and gnashing of teeth, outer darkness. However it's described, it doesn't sound like a place I'd want to go. So keep that in mind, and people who have preached the gospel have kept that in mind, to know that there is a day of judgment coming. So flee to the Lord Jesus from the wrath to come has been a consistent message. The Pharisees, what happens? The Pharisees took counsel how they might ensnare him in his talk. And they send to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know you're true and teach the way of God in truth. Carest not for anyone, for thou regardest not the person of men. Sounds like they're buttering him up. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? And Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why make ye trial of me, you hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought him a denarius. And he said unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They said unto him, Caesar's. And they say unto him, Caesar's. He said unto them, Render unto, therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. When they heard it, they marveled and left him and went away. They're always trying to put him on trial, to test him, to see if they could find something which to bring against him. And so now we leave the Pharisees and we come to the Sadducees. They're going to try to trick him a different way, because they say there's no resurrection. These would have been the very liberals of their day. And they asked him, saying, Teacher, Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first married and deceased, having no seed, left his wife unto his brother. In like manner, the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And after them all, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Now, the next verse is one you ought to memorize and learn how to apply consistently. Jesus answered and said unto them, You do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Scripture would say then, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. When the multitudes heard it, they were astonished at his teaching. So he confounds everybody who's trying to bring a test to him. Pharisees, when they heard that he would put the Sadducees to silence, gathered themselves together. They probably liked that part. He just put down the Sadducees. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, trying him. Notice that, it says trying him. Teacher, what's the great commandment in the law? And he said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like unto this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments, the whole law hangeth, and the prophets. Just one little detail added to that in the book of Mark, which I thought was interesting. Mark 12:34. When Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man asked him any more questions. There wasn't a put down to the man who done this. Here's a scribe, a lawyer, a very intelligent man. Perhaps he was thinking when he was trying him was, this guy is from Nazareth, he's untaught. I'll put a question to him. I bet you he won't be able to get the right answer. Jesus does give the answer correct. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. This hangs all the law and the prophets. Perhaps this is a man who will be converted on Pentecost. Who knows? We've got 2 minutes. So I can read the last section. Now when the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, What think ye of the Christ? Whose son is he? And they said unto him, The son of David. And he said unto them, How then did David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, and that is, Jehovah said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand till I put thine enemies under thy feet. If David calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one was able to answer him a word, neither does anyone from that day forth ask him any questions. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we give you thanks for what you've done for us. We pray that you would, not only as you've humbled us under the cross to see our need of it, we pray that we would be a humble and a thankful people for what you've done. That we would go forth rejoicing in that, but that we would show forth the truth. Speak the truth, love the truth, and give it to those who are in great need. Bless us in the time in which we find ourselves where there is great wickedness in our land. May we be a light in the midst of this gross darkness. We ask your blessing upon us for Jesus' sake. Amen.